Amen. Well, hey, how many guys ever heard the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? You're familiar with that, right? Something works right, don't try to tweak it and ruin it, right? Well, believe it or not, I think, folks, that's the same tactic that the media and the current government administration is using on us with all these distractions, one after another, okay? I mean, if those egg prices didn't get you distracted, or that those train derailments didn't get you, the Chinese spy balloon, the UFO, if that didn't distract you, maybe that, remember that Balenciaga thing? Man, they just ran that cycle over and over again. You know, it's almost like they did that on purpose to distract us from something else. I wonder what that was. Well, let's take a look and find out.
In case you missed it, while we're busy dissecting Balenciaga and yay, it's Kanye West, the Pentagon has lost track of $21 trillion. Vaccine passports are being implemented, and they're piloting a social credit system with digital currency. The Netherlands is forcibly closing 3,000 farms. A farm is a place where we get our food. Food is something that we need to live. Hello? Wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Chrome translation, McFly, hello. Like, how many times are we going to go through this? It's the same thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Apparently it works. A lot of people fall for the squirrel, balloon, eggs, Balenciaga. While what's going on is not just political corruption, but again, the theme is mass murder on a global basis with these COVID death shots. Now, fortunately, some people, even in the media, are catching on, unfortunately, after they lost a loved one as a result. I'm going to share with you the quick message that Silk of Diamond and Silk. Diamond took the shot, and she died. Silk shared this at her funeral. Watch this.
As soon as Diamond hung up the phone, she said to me, "I can't breathe." It was suddenly, out of nowhere and no warning. I got her to the kitchen table, opened up the back door so that she can get some air. And each breath was less and less and less until her eyes became a stare. My husband and I followed the 911 instructions from the lady. We laid her, like they told us, to lay her flat. They said, do CPR. And it was 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. My husband and I alternated and kept going and going and going until the emergency truck came into the yard and the EMS came into the house. They did everything that they could. So what I want to say to everybody is, don't you dare call me a conspiracy theorist, because I saw it happen. I saw how it happened. I was there when it happened, and it happened suddenly. I want America to wake up and pay attention. Something ain't right. It's time to investigate what's really going on here and get some answers to why are people falling dead suddenly. And another thing, instead of asking if Americans are vaxxed or unvaxxed, the real question to ask is, are Americans being poisoned? In the wild, when they want to depopulate and sterilize a large group of animals, they usually inject one animal, and then that one animal infects the rest of the animals. So technically, and according to the science, it doesn't matter if you're vaxxed or not. As long as the gain of function allows one injected person to transfer and infect another person, and that person infect another person, eventually everyone will be affected in one way or the other. So, in case some of you have been hiding under a rock or still stuck in denial, people are dropping dead around here. and nobody's talking about it. They're dropping dead suddenly and unexpectedly. The catchphrase is SAD, S-A-D, sudden adult death syndrome. Many call it a conspiracy theory. I call it murder.
And so does God, who's going to have the last word on this. We've been seeing in our study, folks, this is not by chance. A big chunk of this murderous behavior stems in part with this guy. Part of his global agenda, his name is Klaus Schwab, and I'm convinced biblically that he is preparing, whether he realizes it or not, he is laying the foundation for what the Bible warned about 2,000 years ago. It's called the rise of the Antichrist kingdom in the seven-year tribulation. As we've been seeing in our study, it's not by chance because this murderous behavior stems from Klaus's background. He grew up in Hitler's Germany. His dad, Eugene, there on the right, was buddies with the Nazis, considered a model Nazi camp, and was winning awards from them, and used slave labor, POW. That's the atmosphere that Klaus grew up in Ravensburg, Germany. And that's where I believe he's getting a lot of this Holocaust ideas from, including the current one that we're experiencing with the COVID death shots. It's not by chance. But don't worry, he doesn't call it the rise of the Fourth Reich. That's too obvious. He just calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. Okay, is what's going on. And this is not a conspiracy theory. We've been seeing the proof of it. In the first study we did was called The Current Holocaust. Shocker, Hitler did one, so he's doing one, except he's doing it across the world. Klaus, all he's doing is basically taking Hitler's agenda and going beyond Germany to the whole planet. That's it in a nutshell. Okay, and we've been proving that every week. Hitler did a Holocaust, so he's doing a Holocaust. Hitler had a murderous motive. If you didn't fit into Hitler's regime and serve his purposes, you were a useless eater. That's exactly the same verbiage, exactly, that's being used on you and I, anybody who would resist this new utopia, the Great Reset. We also saw the global food supply, right, which is also what Hitler did. He controlled the food to control the people. And then, if you recall last time, global food murders. Okay, and this is actually a sign that we're living in the last days. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, okay, how do you know you're living in the latter times, Paul says? He says you're going to see two things on the planet. You're going to see people forbidding to marry and forbidding from eating certain types of food is a major mega sign. And that is the big mantra with Klaus and the gang. They don't just say you'll own nothing to be happy. Most people are familiar with that. But keep reading. They say just as loudly, quote, you'll eat what? Less meat. What is that? 1 Corinthians 4, carbon copy. It is a restriction on certain food. It's a sign that we're living in the last days. And then it isn't just they're restricting the food, controlling it. They're doing what Hitler did with the food supply. Hitler poisoned the food supply to hurt, harm, kill, or to make people dumb and docile. Right? We saw that in history. Okay? It's in print. Well, guess what? Klaus is doing the same thing. They're using these global food restrictions to make us dumb. Okay, and not just fluoride in the water and toothpaste, but we saw, gee, why is he keep promoting you need to eat less meat, especially the younger the better? Because we saw, trust the science, the scientists are saying, if you do that, you switch to a vegan diet, get rid of meat, especially early on, it actually lowers your IQ. And it makes for an easier population, you become dumb and docile. That's what Hitler did. He's doing the same thing, except across the planet. The second thing is, and guess what, it makes you dead. A lot of things that they're putting in there is going to kill you. And they know this. And they're not just making money off of it, okay? But it's reaching their goal, as we saw before. They literally want to annihilate 90% of the planet. And those shots can only take you so far, so you might need to resort to something else to help get that job done. Well, they are, as gross as it is, with the food supply, and we're going to deal with that again today from a genetic aspect, okay? But they're not just controlling the food supply, which I believe is, again, Revelation 6, somebody's got to control the food in order for Revelation 6, the Antichrist food distribution program, to come to play. Okay, that's being done. Number two, they're not just manipulating our food supply to meet their depopulation agenda, but three, what we're going to see today, they are genetically modifying our food supply to kill us off or to genetically modify us into something better for them. I'm not joking. And that's where we're at today. Klaus Schwab and the genetic food murders. Okay? And believe it or not, folks, most people may not catch this, but this is actually a sign that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. Okay? I didn't say it. He did. As always, open your Bibles to Matthew 24. That's our opening text. And we're going to listen to Jesus. How do you know it's getting close. Now, the coming that he's talking about here is not the rapture. He's talking about his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. And that's because the context of Matthew 24 is the seven-year tribulation, which we're not a part of. Romans chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 5 says we are saved from, rescued from, not appointed unto God's wrath. The seven-year tribulation is all God's wrath, so we can't be there. So he's talking about the Jewish people who, unfortunately, are going to be there, and anybody who even today refuses to accept God's gracious, wonderful offer to come as you are and get saved through Jesus Christ, you're going to be left behind, right? But he tells you, okay, nobody knows exactly when that's going to happen, but I'm going to give you a sign that it's getting close. Let's take a look at what he says. Matthew 24, Jesus is saying this, verse 36. Here's what he says. No one. Now what's no one? No. That kind of means no one. How many of you guys can figure that out without any help? Right? No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the who? The Father. Wait a second, but I got a math degree. I've got 19 calculators. And then I was able to find some secret hidden math that if you take the original Hebrew and you run it through a computer backwards, and then it spits out all these secret codes, and I can figure out when they're coming. No one knows, only the Father. But wait a second. God told me to tell you. I had a vision. I hit my head on a rock, right? And then I slipped in the shower. And an angel came to me and spoke to me and told me this is when the return of Christ. No. I wish I was joking, but people actually do those things. It's like, come on. Wait, no one means no one. No one, no, only the Father. But here, in God in his graciousness, and again, the coming we're talking about is not the rapture. It's the second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But he says what? I'm going to give you a sign that's getting close. And here's what you could expect to see come back on the planet before he came back. And this is what he says. As it was in the days of who? Noah. So it what? Maybe, might, possibly? No, will be at the what? The coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were what? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it what? Will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You may be seated if you can. Okay. But again, Jesus gives us some clues. How do you know it's getting close to his return there? And again, we're talking about the second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But he says, well, specifically, it's going to be a repeat of the days of Noah. So the logical question is, well, what went on in the days of Noah? So we see if we're getting close to it. Well, he tells us one aspect here in Matthew 24. What did he say? People are eating, drinking, giving marriage. Basically, business as usual. In light of the coming judgment of God, people say, yeah, you wacko. You're one of those weirdo conspiracy theorists. I got to get to work tomorrow. Just good thing we don't see people doing that today. That's everywhere. Peter calls it the scoffing society, right? So that's in function. Well, what else was going on that day? Well, in order to find out, you got to go back to Genesis 6, which gives us two more aspects of the days of Noah. So let's see if we're repeating those. Genesis 6, 1 through 7, when men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and they married any of them they chose. And by the way, the sons of God are angels, fallen angels. Okay. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The who? Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When? What? What will create the Nephilim? Here it is. The sons of God, the fallen angels, went to the daughters of men and what? Had children by them. They created this weird hybrid of humanity called, the Bible calls Nephilim. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And listen, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil all the time? Wow. And so the Lord was grieved that he made man on earth and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I'm going to wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. So you see three things from the scripture that are recorded for us, telling us about the days of Noah, right? And if we see the repeat of these, that means that from Jesus, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to happen again before he comes back. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now we saw, again, the lackadaisical attitude towards the judgment of God. I think that's easily being repeated. It's all over the place, right? And dare I say, even talking to other so-called Christians, they don't even want to hear it, which is crazy. Number two, he says, the thoughts of man were continually wicked all the time. Good thing we don't see that. each week it's like, what else? What more wicked could you be doing? So there's a repeat of that. But what's that third one there? The Nephilim issue. What's the Nephilim issue? The Nephilim issue was what I call a hybridization of humanity. Mankind was made into something different than what God created. Okay, you're tweaking of humanity. And it's a good thing that we don't see any signs of that coming back. I'm telling you specifically, who are we talking about here, folks? Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, when he goes and he does interviews, he not only talks about brain chips, we'll get into that, Lord willing, in a future study. He's big on the brain chips, and we'll see why. He's also big on you'll own nothing and be happy, like a slave labor, like he grew up his dad's factory. We also saw last week, you'll eat less meat for nefarious purposes. But another big thing that he always seems to work in almost all his interviews is simply this. Watch this. He says in the new Great Reset, the fourth industrial revolution, which really is the Fourth Reich, he says this. Here's what you can expect in their version of paradise they want to bring to the whole planet. It will change not just what you do, it will change who you are if you take genetic altering. Here he is on tape admitting this is his version of paradise coming to the planet. Watch this.
You want to talk about in this year's conference in January, mastering the fourth industrial revolution.
When we look at the world today, we see governments and even business very much engaged in mastering the crisis of today, very much absorbed by crisis management. Right. But if you look into the future, there's so much going on in technology. Yeah. It's a real revolution, and our life, the pattern of governing societies will be so much affected with what's going on in research, in innovation. And we are not sufficiently prepared for it. Just look at the discussion on big data.
Yeah.
It shows how difficult it is to find the necessary rules, to find the necessary norms.
And look at things like artificial intelligence.
Exactly.
And robots. Look at things like gene editing.
Exactly.
You know, opening a whole new horizon for medical science.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be careful about. You know, when you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
On tape, and that is exactly the plan. It ain't going to just change what you do. It will change who you are, specifically through genetic editing. That was a 2015 interview with Charlie Rose. That was 3 years after they invented the CRISPR technology in 2012 that allowed them to finally individually slice and dice the DNA to literally genetically modify anything on the planet, including humans, plants, animals, the whole nine yards. It's almost like somebody's following a script. But as sick as this is, he talks about this all the time. The Great Reset involves not just you're going to eat less meat, you'll own nothing, be happy. Okay, somehow, some way. Actually, they're going to own everything and you're not going to be happy. But what's going to happen is you're going to be genetically altered. And the risk is you may not even be human anymore. What does this sound like? Coming back to the planet, Genesis 6. All three are happening before our very eyes on a global basis. And that means Jesus is getting ready to come back. Because he's going to put a stop to this, okay? But we're seeing a repeat of this. And you might be thinking, well, where in the world is Klaus getting his ideas from? Why would he want to specifically, of all things to do, I mean, you think he'd have a hobby, maybe fly kites or, you know, build boats or something. But why are you wanting to promote genetic altering of people and all of life? I mean, doesn't that, who else was big on genetically modify? You know where I'm going with this? Hitler. I'm telling you, folks, everything that Hitler did, he only got as far as Germany. Klaus, for the last 50 years, is now bringing it to the whole planet. That's the whole study in a nutshell. And I believe the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells us what it's going to end up into. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. Okay? This is the whole point. But here it is. Hitler, again, we know he was big on the Ubermen and creating the Aryan race, the super race. But Hitler wanted to genetically modify everything in creating even super animals, right? But let's take a look at that.
The Nazis aren't just busy running World War II. They also have other things on their mind.
It's like children playing dress-up.
True Teutonic warriors hunting with spears.
And they want their very own Jurassic Park. A mythological fairy tale landscape with the biggest beasts.
These are animals of the Ice Age, the megafauna, the mega beasts.
Nazi dinosaurs. It's Goering at his finest.
The Nazis are infamous for their desire to engineer human beings and obsessed with creating the Übermensch.
They put in place a very brutal scientific program in order to do so. But it's not just humans, it's also animals being tested.
Their desire to create the genetic destiny of both people and animals begins back in the 1930s, before the Nazis take over.
But the program goes full steam ahead when Goering comes into power. In addition to help run World War II and being Hitler's second in command, he also has a bit of a side hobby.
They were essentially lunatics roaming Europe, kidnapping everybody's animals and trying to make mutant animals out of them.
So it wasn't just a super race of people, it was also animals. Hitler wanted to genetically modify everything in his version of what he feels would be better, his version of paradise, what he called the Third Reich, for 1,000 years on the planet. And how do you think it went? You mess with God's design, it always gets messy. And only messy, it gets deadly. And I quote, this is not a conspiracy theory, this is really what it is. Most people get the, he wanted to modify people. By the way, that will be, Lord willing, the next study. That's being repeated. But also animals. That's right. Nazi super cows. So did it turn out good? Absolutely not. A breed of cow that went extinct in the 1600s was brought back to life by Hitler. They had to, quote, slaughter most of them because of their incredible aggressive behavior. Some of the animals would try to kill anyone that approached and, as a result, had been turned into sausage meat. Which is kind of funny, but then that means people are eating this stuff. Right. Quote, they would just attack you any chance they could. They would try to kill anyone. They were far and away the most aggressive animal ever to deal with. And you think, well, why would they do this? Again, this was propaganda for his version of utopia. And I quote, a rise of Nazi super cows. They were developed by being genetically eared by genesis from Goering to be used as, quote, propaganda material during World War II. It would be an illustration of the strength of the party. See, if you just let us rule the planet, this is the kind of incredible utopia, the paradise, the mythological. We'll bring Jurassic Park back to life. We'll modify you and the animals and want to be great. This is what Klaus and the gang are doing as well. Can you believe it? I'm telling you, folks, everything Hitler did, this guy's doing. He calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. It really is the Fourth Reich, or what the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. The first part is, again, the animals. Hitler wanted to genetically modify the animals. Last time I checked, that's what we eat. Food supply, right? And so we're going to see that in four ways. It's being done today already. Not coming. It's already being done. And the first way that Klaus and the gang are altering our food supply, like Hitler did, by the way, with deadly effects, is the new vaccine food. Ooh-wee. This is going to be amazing, right? I mean, just in case, apparently, you didn't get that COVID genetic altering shot in the needle. Guess what? They figured out a way to get you to get it anyway through the food supply. That's right, folks. Get ready for the new vaccine salad. Yum, yum, yum. You see, I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. Watch what they're doing with the vegetables.
Researchers have just launched a late-stage clinical trial on a whole new kind of COVID-19 vaccine, one that's grown in plants. They're looking for volunteers in San Diego. We're going in-depth on what you might call the world's first vegan vaccine. Medicago's manufacturing facility looks like a nursery, but inside these plants, they're growing a new kind of vaccine, one that's now being tested in volunteers around the U.S., including in San Diego.
They can grow this material very fast.
Dr. Tarakjian says we need as many vaccine options as possible to fight off variants.
Yeah, sure thing, Wally. That's what it's for. And I'm not joking, folks. Listen to this. Vaccines in your salad? Scientists growing medicine field plants, what's it say? To replace injections. Because there's too many of you that resisted this genetic altering procedure. So we'll just put it in your food. How about that? And I quote, the public could eat plant-based mRNA vaccines, which could also survive at room temperature. See, those other ones, they had to freeze. The team will need to determine the right dosage that people will need to eat to properly, quote, replace vaccinations. They're going to get you genetically modified one way or another. But wait a second, you got to cover all bases, right? We don't just eat plants, we eat what? Meat, right? Big part of our diet. That's right, folks, get ready for the new McVaccine burger. Yeah! Now, if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. Unfortunately, watch this.
So everybody knows, we're sure that you've noticed, that food prices surged all over America last year. What with Biden's criminal inflation, intentional by the way, the intentional global stress on the food supply, the intentional fake manufactured supply chain disruptions blamed on fake COVID, the fake fertilizer shortages, the fake war in Ukraine. But it's all about to get a whole lot worse. Thanks to an outbreak of bird flu across the United States, officials are now considering ordering, making it mandatory for American farmers to start vaccinating America's chicken population of nearly 10 billion birds. Yeah, that's the plan now. Stick fake vaccine bioweapons into every single layer of the food supply. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it will go wrong like this. If the COVID vaccines and the needles were killing millions of people, and then you put that in our food supply, what do you think that's going to do? These guys are sick, folks. And if you don't think this is global and Klaus and the gang, the World Economic Forum, is behind it, think again. Specifically with now these meat vaccinations. BlackRock board member who works for Klaus Schwab, former Pfizer executive who works for Klaus Schwab, is behind the push for chicken vaccinations. Chicken Vax Company is an offshoot of who? Pfizer. Who's pushing the shots in the needle, but in case you resist, we'll put it into something else. Now, it made me wonder if maybe this is why the Economist magazine came out with this cover, The Coming Food Catastrophe. It's almost like they know that, you know, altering the food supply ain't going to go well. And if you don't have good eyesight, let me zoom in for you. They're telling you something. It really isn't going to go well. And I'll tell you biblically, it's not going to go well. Because you're what? What are we talking about? You're genetically modifying food. And did God bless genetic modifying, tweaking of things in Genesis 6? No. He's going to judge it again. It ain't going to go well. You're messing with God's design. It's a sign that Christ is getting ready to come back. But hey, that's right. If you don't go for that new vaccine food, how about that new fake food? Oh, fake food. Oh, this is incredible what they come up with. And what I'm talking about specifically is this new vegan food that they're cramming down our throats everywhere. And not just in grocery stores and kids' cafeterias at secular schools, but the drive-through this. And what I'm talking about is the same vegetarian propaganda that they're getting people to get off of meat that will actually make you dumber and have ill effects on your health. I'm not joking. We saw that last week. But, you know, I'm talking about the plant-based meat. Veggie burgers. Beyond meat. Impossible meat. Yeah. Because it's not meat. That's why it's impossible. But it's all that stuff. And they're saying this stuff is not just going to save the planet. You can save the animals and people get sucked into this. But they pitch it as what? It's so good for your health. I'm sure that's true. No, even secular medical doctors are saying, are you kidding me? This stuff is horrible for your health. Shocker. Let's take a look at that. Thank you.
This plant-based poison is one of the biggest scams happening in the world right now. And I get it. You've probably been told that this is much healthier to consume than normal meat. You've probably been told that this is much more sustainable for the environment. And both of those things are complete nonsense. Number one, they use sunflower oil, which is a highly inflammatory omega-6 fatty acid. Number two, and most importantly, their main source of protein comes from genetically modified soy, which has been sprayed with a bunch of glyphosate, which you already know has been directly linked to multiple types of cancer.
You know, maybe it's just me. It's almost like these guys are trying to kill us. Am I getting that mindset there?
Yeah.
You liars. I did a research. I don't have time to get into this, but you could research it out. I mean, this is secular articles. They're admitting that not only are these going to cause harmful effects to your health, death, but there has, quote, been no long-term testing on any of this stuff. Who knows what's going to cause? And you're genetically modifying things. What's that going to do to people? Who knows? And believe it or not, even the secular folks are catching on. And I quote, plant-based meat is what? It's hype. It's a bunch of baloney. Right? It's all a bunch of baloney. It's not good for you. It's bad for your health. But that's right, just in case that veggie meat didn't get you, kill you, genetically modify you. Maybe the new 3D printed meat. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could just print our food? These guys are sick. Watch this, folks.
Believe it or not, this is the future of the meat industry. In just an hour, this printer by Redefine Meat can build you about 6.5 kilos or 13 pounds of fake meat.
The idea is to replace a cow. So each of our machines produce in a day exactly like a cow, up to 250 kilos in a single day.
And not just faux ground beef, as with other alternative meat products.
As far as we know, there is an amazing industry of alternative meat that is focused on mince meat. And actually, the meat industry is driven by the whole muscle cuts. Our technology can create whole muscle cuts just as a cow can produce that in a much more efficient way with a lower cost. And of course, it's much better for the environment. So we are introducing a new category. We can do the entire cow, not only one part of the cow that is actually side stream. Steaks, roast, slow cooking, grilling, everything that an animal can do, we want to do the same or even better.
And best of all, it's part of a push to save the planet.
This is the biggest problem we face today as humanity, and this is the best way to fight climate change, to deliver healthier solution and food to the entire population of the planet.
Now moving out of the lab and into the kitchen, many restaurants and hungry restaurant goers are already showing interest.
In other words, it's already entering the food supply. That's just one company. There's several of them. It's crazy. But hey, don't get upset. This is a dream come true. Didn't you ever watch The Jetsons? And you get Star Trek fans, you know what we're talking about here. This is the food replicator. It's finally here. You just print, you push a button, here comes your food, and it's so good for you. Shocker, maybe you're seeing a pattern. 3D printing health hazards. Quote, these printers release what's called ultrafine particles, UFPs, or volatile organic compounds, VOCs, during printing. And they are, quote, this is a secular research article, veritable villains when it comes to inflicting damage on human health. These particles can easily invade the human body and directly impact the lungs. There are also massive cardiovascular health risks associated with them. They not only increase risk of asthma, but they also carry toxins into the bloodstream and pose similar health problems that has been linked to cancer, and I quote, the EPA of all entities classifies these as toxic pollutants. But don't worry, you push a button, you eat it, and save the planet as you die. This is stupid. But that's right, folks. Just in case that veggie meat didn't get you, kill you, genetically modify you, or that 3D printed meat, maybe that freaked you out, a little too Star Trek-y for you. But don't worry, we're here to save the planet and genetically modify you in the process. With a new lab-grown meat. And can anybody guess who's promoting that across the planet? It rhymes with Kill Gates. You know why? Because it's coming from Kill Gates. Watch this. was the last two things there? Smelling a rat? The reason why we got to switch to this lab-grown meat. By the way, pay attention to the term. Most people are catching on to lab-grown meat. Now they call it cultured meat. Clear meat. Still the same stuff, folks. They just hide behind the terms. What was they saying? The reason why we got to switch to this lab-grown meat is because we all know it was the coronavirus, right? And it got started with that Chinese meat market, right? And it combined with a bat, and which we all know is a big fat lie. And that is not a conspiracy theory. Number two, they said, oh, it's the swine flu, the avian bird flu. So you create a crisis to ultimately go, for various reasons, and one of them is to what? To force us to go down this route to eat your lab-grown meat. Now, as you saw, Bill Gates is a big part of it, and there's a reason why. Anything that he touches, there's two reasons why. One is for money. Two is to kill you. That is his agenda. We saw that's not a conspiracy. It's on tape. He said if we do a good enough job with the vaccines, we could lower the population planet by 10 to 15%. On tape. Not a conspiracy theory. His dad worked for Planned Parenthood. Hello. Okay, it's on tape. He admits that's his interview. And sure enough, guess what? The reason why Kill Gates, is pushing this is because he's going to make a ton of money. Who do you think owns this stuff? And I quote, Bill Gates' quiet plan to force people to eat fake meat. He's got a sinister plan to force people to eat fake meat. He says that synthetic meat is the solution to, quote, methane emissions of cattle. Because I wake up every day concerned about cow gas. I don't know about you guys. It's really on my head for some reason. Cow gas. Oh, not cow gas. Oh, no. Goes on to say, as we know, we saw this in another study, Gates owns more farmland in the United States than any other private farmer, and most of that he's acquired recently. Gates either wants to control what can be grown on that land or eliminate that land, quote, forcing the public to eat fake meat. Because you don't just grow crops on land, you raise livestock. Imitation meat company Impossible Foods is co-founded by, quote, Google, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, and guess who? Bill Gates. The agenda is the widespread adoption of synthetic meat. So if you force people to go this route, he's going to make big bucks. But what's his second agenda he always has? Not just for monetary purposes, it's to kill you. So I'm sure this cultured meat, clear meat, lab-grown meat is really good for you, right? And I quote, this is secular articles. It's going to kill you. Lab-grown meat pushed by the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates as a remedy for climate change is made of what? Immortalized cancer cells. And I quote, Bill Gates' fake meat causes turbo cancer in humans. Number three, eating lab-grown chicken equivalent to eating cancer tumors. Who needs salt and pepper anymore when you could just have a tumor with your chicken? Now, as gross as this is, and then we'll move on to the next way they're messing with our food supply, a repeat of Genesis 6. These guys are so sick and evil. They know there's going to be some resistors. I ain't going to eat none of this stuff. You can eat this stuff? I'm not going to eat it. They found a way genetically to force us into not eating the real meat. They'll make us allergic to it. Here they are admitting it on tape.
So one is that people eat too much meat, right? And if they were to cut down on their consumption of meat, then they would it would actually really help the planet. But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, you know, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they have a weakness of will. They say, wow, this steak is just too juicy. I can't do it. I'm one of those, by the way. So, you know, but so here's the thought. Right, so it turns out that we know a lot about. So there, we have these intolerance to. I, for example, I have milk intolerance. Some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the long star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering.
So even if you want to eat it, they're going to modify you, admittedly, genetic engineering, and you'll have a horrible reaction to it, and you can't. These guys are sick, right? But this one, I mean, if it wasn't bad enough with the vaccine food and the fake food, this one really bugs me. It's the insect food. See, you missed it. It really bugs me. Now, see, when I got to explain it, let's just move on. All right. And I'm not joking, folks. This is the other big mantra from Klaus Schwab and the gang. It's not just in their new Great Reset utopia they're building for us, the fourth industrial revolution to the whole planet, which is really the fourth Reich. We are not only going to have you owning nothing and being happy, you're not only going to eat less meat, we're not only going to genetically modify, it's going to change not just what you do, it's going to change who you are. We'll get it into you one way or another. But this is their big mantra, that you are going to eat the bugs. And we laugh about this because it's really starting to come out now. It's been there the whole time. But they're really ramping it up. As we saw in our last study, do you really think these guys are going to eat the bugs? No. Meanwhile, at the World Economic Forum, you know that's what they're going to eat. They're going to, and that ain't going to be printed or lab grown. That's going to be the real deal. And then of all ironies, biblical ironies, that's exactly what our text said last time about those who tell the rest of us to be restricted from certain foods. They're a bunch of hypocrites. 1 Timothy 4:2, such teachings, abstain from certain foods, come from who? Hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. You know Klaus and the gang ain't going to be eating bug meat. Are you kidding me? I mean, can you see Klaus Schwab in their next global meeting at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, say, hey, we're going to bring you in a snack with some salsa, right? And do you think these guys are going to be eating this? I don't think so. Oh yeah, grab another one. Thumbs up. Just like a Lay's potato chip, you can't eat just one tarantula. And bugs are awesome. I showed that because do you really think those guys are going to be eating that stuff, you hypocritical liars? It's exactly what 1 Timothy said about those who restrict the rest of us from certain foods. But you think, oh, come on, they ain't going to. This is a part of the global reset agenda. They want all of us to not just do the vaccine meat, the fake meat. They want us to eat bugs, eat the bugs. I'm not joking. This is straight from the World Economic Forum. And here's how they're pitching it. If we switch to eating bugs, we'll save the planet. What? Watch this. I'm not joking.
It takes a fraction of the resources to grow a pound of crickets as it does a pound of beef. And so the amount of water it takes, the greenhouse gas emissions that it emits compared to the livestock, the amount of land that's required, the amount of feed that's required, there are so many factors that just lead to, you know, this is kind of smart.
Anybody ready to switch? No. This is part of their agenda. Just as much as you'll own nothing and be happy, you'll eat less meat, all this other alternative meat, meat substitutes, all this stuff. They literally want to switch the planet to insects. Now, pay attention. The term out there is called micro-livestock. That's the new way of farming. They're farming crickets and bugs and stuff for the rest of us to eat. Huge plants are going up all over the world. Hollywood, if you're paying attention, is being paid millions of dollars to promote this. That somehow eating insects are for good. Schools are already serving this around the world, insects in the food supply. But as you saw, it's going to help save the planet, and it's good for you. If you believe that, raise your hand. Now slap yourself with it. Because every one of these things are not good for your health, including bugs. And I quote, these are secular articles, folks. Edible insects and the role in the transmission of parasitic diseases to humans and animals. You may not see them, but bugs carry bugs that are not good for you. And I quote, the dangers of eating insects, the transmission of biological hazards, okay, from that, as well as bacteria and viruses. So we're going to create a COVID-20 because now we're eating bugs. It's crazy what they're doing. And you're thinking, well, hey, man, I tell you what, good thing Biden will never go along with this. And I quote, he's in the back pocket of Schwab. And watch what he's doing recently, Biden. What's really behind the plan to, quote, redesign our food system? Because Biden loves us and they just want to improve our health. No, he's pushing Klaus's bug plan, as well as the other genetic modifying plan. Quote, at first glance, food is medicine revolution suggests that our government is finally realizing the importance of nutrition. Or is it now going to be controlling your purchases, your food purchases? At the end of September last fall, the White House hosted the conference on hunger, nutrition, and health, during which President Biden laid out a, quote, bold goal to, quote, end hunger, increase healthy eating and physical activity by 2030. Why do you pick 2030? Why does anybody pick 2030? That's the date for the Great Reset. That tells you who he's working for. It's all it is. And the goal of this is food is medicine, they call it, is to not just take over our health care, but also our food care and combine them both, take over both simultaneously. This is from the government. And quote, they're also working on replacing traditional farming with indoor vertical growing of patented genetically modified organisms, genetically modified seeds. Animal farming will go into oblivion, replaced by insect farms known as micro livestock, and, quote, gene-edited food and lab-grown meat. What are we talking about here? Modifying God's creation that was for good, including our food supply, the repeating Genesis 6. Our government's in on it, right? And here's the reason why. Quote, the narrative is to convince everyone we need to do this due to, quote, COVID and climate change, which are both a lie. So he's in on this. And you think, I don't care if he's in on that. There ain't no way in the world I'm going to be eating sea bugs. Now, here's what's sick of these guys. We may already be eating them. We don't know. And I quote, do the research, folks. Are you eating insects in food without knowing it? And I quote, protein-rich insect snacks, powders, and flours are gaining popularity. And that's why, quote, we could be unknowingly eating bugs when we eat certain foods. Quote, the FDA outlines acceptable limits for the amount of insect fragments allowed in different types of food, including wheat flour. As much as, quote, direct quote, as much as 10% of food in the United States may be adulterated. In other words, certain foods may contain insects that are not part of the official ingredient list. So we may be already eating this stuff. It's sick. Now we're going to close with this one. You thought that was bad? Hope you had a good breakfast. I wish I was making this up, but it kind of fits their sick, murderous, satanic things that they're doing. Apparently, it's a backup plan. I think that this will certainly come in play in the seven-year tribulation, but they're pitching it as a good way to save the planet. I'm not joking. If you don't want that vaccine food, you don't want that fake food, you don't want that bug food, how about human food? These guys are now going to this stage trying to get us to think that cannibalism is a great way to save the planet. I am not joking. Right? It sounds like a conspiracy theory. I've known this for several years, but I've waited to come across some hard data. Because this was, people go, okay, now you've gone over the edge. Speaking of genetically modified, you ate that cancerous chicken. You're not thinking straight. Pastor Billy, there's no way they're going to try to get us to think that cannibalism is acceptable. Yes. I'm going to show you very quickly a video. The first one's from Fox News, so this is not a conspiracy. The other one is a Truth in Action program that exposes what's being taught in secular schools. They're promoting eating people. Watch this.
Thank you. there's a school, Richmond Hill High School in Georgia. They wanted these students to create a business model that basically raising and eating human babies to solve the world hunger problem. And so they actually had to come up with a plan for mass production, distribution, and target market. So this came to light because some of the students got very upset, and so a parent actually submitted this. But this was being taught as satire again in an English class. This was an example. So because the students were so upset, we found out about it, but we really want to make sure that parents are aware that this is trying to normalize cannibalism. We're seeing it in Hollywood, right, with the Katy Perry and the Netflix movie they did with Madonna and Drew Barrymore. So there's a lot going on. But they actually went through step by step. Let me tell you what they had. This is not part of the curriculum. We believe a teacher actually brought this in. But one of the first things that they start with is, when you first give us your child that you unfortunately cannot keep, we will take them from you. Do not be worried. Your baby is in good hands. To first care for your child, we will give them a vaccine. Keep them safe from the, for some reason, they put Pamarama. After that, they usually get very tired from the shot. They will get sick and will not wake up. Can you believe this? So when this happens, we have a small funeral. And after that, we, in capital letters, we feast. Since the child has passed, we don't need to take up any more land for cemeteries. So we slap them on the grill and cook their flesh and make delicious hamburgers. They taste just like the real thing. Oh my gosh. Then they go into their business plan of mass production. For mass production, we would encourage the U.S. government to create a business negotiation with China about trying to reduce their population by donating children to our government. We also take all children from organizations, including foster care. They are just taking this to the extreme. And it says the production is, once they receive these babies, Alex, the meat is cured and dried, similar to that of beef jerky, so that it doesn't spoil and is preserved longer. And then they refer to having a Dahmer's mini camp. You are what you eat. And the target market for this is low-income poverty areas and countries. So once again, we are going after areas in our country. We know that Planned Parenthood, right, has always gone after the black population. And so to me, this feeds right into that. They're normalizing again cannibalization. And this book, My Friend Dahmer, is a graphic novel, which we're seeing more of that in our schools.
Who was Jeffrey Dahmer? He not only was a homosexual, he was a cannibal. He ate his victims. And that's in schools? Not a conspiracy theory. You wonder why God's wrath is going to be poured out on this planet for 7 years nonstop? Just add this to the list. But speaking of Hollywood, you saw that they're already promoting this in different movies. They made a movie on Netflix of Dahmer, remember, recently. You wonder why? They're promoting this, folks, before our very eyes. But if all this meat restriction, global food supply, genetically altering, saying it's all going to lead to a global catastrophe where in the end people are going to end up having to eat human meat, does that sound familiar to anybody speaking of Hollywood? It was a movie made in 1973.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
New York City. Nothing runs anymore. Nothing works. But the people are the same, and the people will do anything to get what they need.
This is the police.
What they need most is Soylent Green.
The supply of Soylent Green has been exhausted. Return to your home.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Detective Sergeant Thorne. He has a 2-year backlog of unsolved murders. Now he's on a case that must be solved. Saul Roth, Thorne's private library.
Hey, Saul!
A living book in a world without books.
Have some pencils, courtesy of your next assignment. William R. Simonson.
Simonson. He was the first to learn the secret of Soylent Green.
They told me to say that they were sorry, but that you had become unreliable.
Saul Roth was the next to know.
How did we come to this?
And he chose to die rather than reveal the secret of Soylent Green.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Fight for survival and try to solve the most bizarre riddle ever to face mankind. The search for the secret of Soylent Green. You will find out why Soylent Green means life. You will find out why Soylent Green means death.
We gotta stop him!
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Please!
Yeah, please stop him. Because if you know the movie premise, the big thing, the secret of Soylent Green is those people in that society were eating human meat. Here's something crazy. Made in 1973. You know what year it was depicted to take place in? 2022. Right on schedule for all this promotion we're seeing. And I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord, but I believe this is going to march into the 7-year tribulation. And I think it adds words to credence to Jesus' words here, speaking of the 7-year tribulation, Matthew 24, 21, 22. For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. Call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Call it the Great Reset. It really is the Fourth Reich. But it's what the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom. And Jesus warned, you don't ever want to be there. It literally will be, as you can see with what they're building, the worst nightmare ever. It's sick. And that's why Jesus also said, when these things begin to take place, what do? You stand up, you lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We're not going in there. By God's grace and complete mercy through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, we are saved from, rescued from, not appointed unto God's wrath. We're not going in the 7-year tribulation. But the point he's telling us this in advance is finish strong. If we knew there was a way out for people to not be a part of what they call the Great Reset, this sick society that the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom, and we sit on it and don't tell anybody, how sick is that? We need to finish strong. If anything, this gets us to be the greatest evangelists of ever. We don't just sit on our assurance and do nothing. We share it with as many as we can because there's a way out. And when we leave this planet, we get to be a part of the true utopia, heaven, the millennial kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth, purely as a gift from God, something to look forward to. As the Bible says, we should long for his appearing because that's when it kicks in. That's the appropriate response, not fear. But again, as always, if you're here today or watching online, and if you still at this point still aren't saved, what in the world are you waiting for? This is all coming to the planet. And it'll be way worse than anything we could depict. But that's why God loves you enough to tell you in advance, take the way out. His name is Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you and forgive you today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy? And that we are not,
And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.